Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for
the Falcons Report.
Whoa, whoa.
Here's Matt. Guns it. Caught. First touchdown Atlanta in the end zone. Caught. Touchdown Calvin Ridley. Grady Jarrett got another one.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Hope you're having a great day. Thanks again to John Collins from our Atlanta Hawks for stopping by the show. It was just a great interview. And, you know, I'm not patting us on the back. I always tell you guys, we do the job, but it's really the guest. And if the guest is good, then the interview's good. And sometimes the guests are not good. And John was great today in regards to his relationship with Trey and talking about this defensive philosophy, saying, hey, we're doing the best we can. The philosophy hasn't changed, but the league, guys, the teams are better. You know, we're getting everybody's best game. Says, I'm not making excuses. And then Mikey talked about, you know, speaking up and, you know, your question about being a leader after getting this big payday.
Right. I just know that I think it's what a lot of Hawks fans want to hear. Now we just got to find a way to, you know, untangle whatever this stuff was that wasn't working and get back on track and see where we go with the trade deadline. But first things first, playing better defense. I know the game got a little funky. It was 70 points at halftime. It's not what they were shooting for, but great win last night. Come from behind, get a big lead, nearly blow it, then Senate were able to walk away with a double-digit win. So it's two wins in a row as Ike makes an appearance with a squeaky toy. But anyway, yeah, man, good win. By the way, real quick with the Falcons. You and I were talking earlier last hour about the guys that were the quarterbacks that got the most roughing the passer. Yeah. It was just something that came up in conversation because Tom Brady, Squidbilly, was talking about it. And Tom Brady was saying that, you know, I get this rep that I'm like this guy that's always working the refs. You know the guy who's had the most roughing the passer penalties called since 2010? Take a wild guess.
No, who?
He resides right here in Atlanta. Matt Ryan, 56 times. Ryan Fitzpatrick next with 52. Then you get to Matthew Stafford with 39, Aaron Rodgers 38. Tom Brady actually checks in at number 10 on the list over the last 12 seasons.
So you know what's interesting about that, and just, you know, a sidebar, bad offensive lines?
Yes.
Being sacked a lot.
Yes.
Matthew Stafford in Detroit, right?
Yep. What's the common thing here? Yep. Aaron Rodgers never really taking care of him like they should. I mean, Bakhtiari and company can put some seasons together here and there, but you're right. So, I mean, this goes back. And guys, you get crushed. You get smashed around. And this is Matt. Just alone in this 2021, Matt was nailed 10 times, 10 roughing the passer penalties on defenses that played Matt Ryan, 7 a year ago, 6 the year before. So, I mean, and I'm looking for this season alone, nobody even comes close in 2021 as far as how many times they've been a quarterback in the pocket getting roughed by the defense. I think the next close would be Jared Goff with a 7. So Matt Ryan gets smoked, guys. That's, and again, if you don't like Matt, you won't have him to kick around much longer, but this is, unfortunately, he's been kicked around by everybody else in the NFL.
Well, it is a function of whether he's holding the ball or guys not getting open or late hits. I mean, there's a lot of play. I'd like to see every play.
Or free runs. Runs are a guy can like just drop the hammer on him.
Where he has been, you know, where there's been a roughing the passer call. But that's an interesting stat, man. While we're talking Matt Ryan and the Falcons, our Falcon Report is brought to you by Domino's.
Domino's, guys. Don't forget, if you want to make it a pizza party like on a rainy night in Georgia, go to Domino's.com for carryout if the pizza's not ready. And whatever else you order in less than 2 minutes, your next order is going to be free. Get all the details when you go to Domino's.com.
Now, we've got another great guest coming up. Ian Eagle's going to join us. He's got the call for the Tennessee-Cincinnati game. He was at the Buffalo game last week calling that game. We'll talk to him about NFL playoffs as part of our strong arm story of the day here in about 10 minutes. But, Mike, as we talk about the Falcons, it's interesting that we are, you know, in the offseason and we're talking about all these potential things that could happen. What about developing our guys? How much of that do you put on this coaching staff to say, hey, we have some talent, but a lot of these guys played their first year, you know, whether it was Hennessy or, you know, Mayfield. We've got some guys, but what about the development part of this, the discussion?
Well, I mean, two things. What do you got? What are you going to, I mean, what are you going to be able to address? I mean, are you going to go to battle? Are we going to start 2022 with this exact same offensive line? D. Orlando Ledbetter from the AJC had the Pro Football Focus numbers earlier today. You know, and I give him credit. D has never been a big fan of Caleb McGarry, but McGarry comes in with a grade of 62.4. Hennessy with a 77. So the right side is certainly better than the left side. I should say the right side. Middle's where things start to get in trouble. Lindstrom got a grade of 84.1. Mayfield, 49.3. That would be an F. Hennessy, 77, grades out to a C. Jake Matthews, again, solid, not spectacular, 71.4 rating. Again, I'm not into the metrics of Pro Football Focus, but I think we know what we've got here. We got trouble with the offensive line. McGarry gave up 9 sacks. Mayfield led the league by giving up 11 sacks. I do think, though, in defense of Mayfield, some of that was also because Hennessy wasn't exactly on his best game either. But, I mean, long answer to short question. Can those guys be developed, or do you have to start from scratch?
You got to develop them. They're too young, Mike, to just throw them away to the scrap heap and go, well, they're not any good. You've got to have some kind of development. And that's going to be on task for this coaching staff as we get into the offseason.
But, I mean, are you going to give McGarry a big contract extension?
I am not.
Me neither.
He is the one guy that I am not going to because of his age. 26, I know what he is. And I'll give you an example. Jake Matthews is 29. Jake's been in the league now a long time. It seems like forever. I know what Jake is. I also know what Caleb McGarry is now. And at 26, I'm not giving him a big fat deal that other right tackles in this league have gotten and cap-strap me even more so where I can't go afford some other pieces that I need. All right, man, coming up, Ian Eagle's going to join us for Strong Arm Story of the Day. We'll talk NFL football and playoffs with him next.
The Strong Arm Story of the Day is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
Oh, this guy's lucky, man. He gets to be at the games. He calls the games. He brings us all of the action. Ian Eagle joining us on the WaitForward.com hotline, part of our Strong Arm Story of the Day. And he is going to be lucky, Mike, because he's going to be at the Tennessee-Cincinnati game this weekend. But, Ian, I want to go back to last weekend, Buffalo, and how impressive they were. I know you had the call on that game, and boy, they didn't make any mistakes. I mean, no punts, no turnovers. They were almost perfect.
Guys, that was a beatdown. And to do it against the Patriots, there was almost a cathartic feeling in Orchard Park. Because, let's face it, for 20-plus years, New England has dominated the division. They've dominated the NFL, more or less. And the Bills, using that as a measuring stick, realized they were nowhere close to where they needed to be. So this was a breakthrough win for the franchise. I think it's a team that believes that they can win the whole thing. And the way they performed, the way that Josh Allen had command in that game, I would tell you that they're the most balanced team in the AFC. To me, they're the best team that I've seen in that conference.
Yeah, and that was a bit – you're right. That's like their kryptonite. As Alabama was for Georgia, so has Belichick been for anybody in Western New York the last two decades. So what do you think about them against Kansas City, though, on the road? Seems like Kansas City has gotten things right, however weird that looked earlier this year.
Yeah, they both went through some strange stuff this year. The dip in the middle of the season for Kansas City, it hit rock bottom against Tennessee. I worked that game on CBS, and walking out of the stadium that day, you just didn't know if KC was going to figure it out offensively. They were not nearly as prolific as they'd been defensively at that point. They were completely discombobulated. And then slowly but surely, they got their act together. The defense actually improved markedly by week 15, week 16, then a little dip coming into the playoffs. I still had questions, and my questions are still there. I think Buffalo is the safer team to back right now based on what they bring defensively, opportunistic, number one defense scoring, number one defense and total yards allowed. And I just think they've got that vibe of a team that's on the rise. And Kansas City, while they had sorted some things out, it just feels like it's not quite the same intimidation factor that they had from 2 years ago.
Ian Eagle, turn my mic on. Ian Eagle, our guest here on Dukes and Bell, as we talk about the NFL playoffs this weekend and all that it encompasses. All right, so everybody's talking about how the Cowboys lost, but the 49ers aren't worried about that. They're headed to Green Bay. And I'm curious to know what you think about this, because Green Bay got, you know, they got the bye week. They had the time off. Yep. Aaron's been resting his toe. But here comes the 49ers, and last week you could say they were a more physical football team than the Cowboys were. Running the ball, the way their approach, can they go into Lambeau and do the same thing against Green Bay?
Yeah, really impressed with San Francisco last week. I'd say the only pause that you would have is what happened down the stretch of that game. It nearly slipped away. Garoppolo made, as we know, a boneheaded play. The interception was the last thing they needed at that point. A punt would not have hurt them. The interception did. And you just wonder in the clutch moments, will this team be able to get it done? If they leave that kind of opening for Green Bay as opposed to Dallas, the Packers are going to take advantage, in my mind. When you've got Aaron Rodgers and he's pushing the buttons on offense, they're getting some people back defensively. There's concern in Green Bay. I don't think this is one of those weeks where Packers fans are really confident about this matchup. I sense that there's some hesitation right now, and San Francisco has got something working here. Whether or not it translates at Lambeau remains to be seen. Of the four road teams right now, I would probably put them fourth in the possibility of winning this week, but they certainly have a chance. The other three road teams, I think, have a legitimate opportunity to win a game this week in the divisional round.
It is Ian Eagle, guys. You recognize the pipes from the NFL on CBS. He'll be up in Tennessee. We'll talk more about the Bengals and match up with the Titans. But just getting back to your point about Garoppolo, that's the thing. I mean, Green Bay, the pressure, I mean, this will be the third potential NFC championship game they could punch their ticket to. Yeah. But I'm with you. Garoppolo can do all those things. He can make all those throws, but he's got a bad shoulder and a bad thumb, and man, you just don't trust him in these moments. At least I don't.
Yeah, and the guy wins games. I don't know if he's going to be with San Francisco next year. He probably is not. And if I'm a team that is trying to get myself out of the malaise, it's something that I would consider. It's a hefty price. You're paying premium money for that position, but I think it's worth the gamble, and Garoppolo can win a bunch of games. The question is, can he win the biggest game of all? And that's still going to be out there. I had the game on radio. San Francisco at Tennessee. The 49ers look like world beaters early in that game. Deebo Samuel right now is top five player in the NFL for pure excitement and energy. I just love the way the guy plays. And then the bottom dropped out because Garoppolo throws a pick in the end zone. Tennessee gets some momentum. They get it rolling on the ground with Deontay Foreman. Tannehill didn't make big mistakes, and Tennessee wins the game. And that was Garoppolo in a nutshell to me. I just don't know in the biggest spot on the biggest stage if you can trust him right now.
Yeah, it's a great point. Derrick Henry's back. What's that mean as you've started to do your research and talk about this weekend's game with Tennessee? What does it mean for the Titans and their offense and how they operate?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because obviously, he was having an MVP-type season, and I've done a bunch of Derrick Henry games from a play-by-play man's perspective. It's a lot of fun. He can throw out a stiff arm, so that's a highlight. He can break off a 75-yard run. He's one of the largest human beings you'll see at that position. So to see him galloping through a defense, knocking guys over, and then racing them to the end zone, that's pure excitement. But with that said, Tennessee didn't change their style of play. It's not like he went out and they became a primarily passing team. They stuck with their core values, and they just placed Deontay Foreman basically in that role. He's not Derrick Henry, but he's big, he's physical, he's hard-nosed, and he brought a lot of the same characteristics that Henry did. Henry just does it at a higher level. So I don't think it drastically changes what they do. It may drastically change how they do it, though, because Henry is such a major force in what they do. And if he's really himself and they get a lead in the fourth quarter, they're up 20-14 on the Bengals, and they just give it to Henry over and over and over again, he could close the game. He's that kind of guy. And as we know, he can be a one-man wrecking crew if it happens. I did a playoff game a couple of years ago against Baltimore where he threw for a touchdown. I had a game on a Thursday night against Jacksonville when he ran for a 99-yard touchdown. So there's nothing this guy can't do, but he is coming off a broken foot. I'm curious what kind of pitch count Mike Vrabel will keep him on.
That's what we're arguing about. 15 and a half touches. We'll see where it goes. Bengals at Titans. Ian Eagles got the call, guys. CBS 4:30, by the way, on Saturday. All right, let me throw some stats at you. Burrow is the most sacked quarterback in the NFL this year, 51 times. Yeah. We know that O-line can be a bit porous. And, man, Tennessee's got like three guys that can get after the quarterback. So as much as we love Burrow and love watching him do his thing, is he going to get smushed by the Titans?
Yeah, number two on that list, by the way, is Ryan Tannehill, 47 times. Right. So you've got the two quarterbacks that got sacked the most in the NFL this season. Look, he carved them up last year as a rookie. It was week 10. He threw for a couple of touchdowns, 247 yards, no picks. It was a game that Mike Vrabel basically said, when we watched the film now, a year and a half later, we nearly puked because it wasn't Tennessee football. They turned the ball over early, and then Cincinnati took that, scored, compounded it with another touchdown, kept building. Tennessee made a bunch of mistakes in that game, and they just wanted to burn the footage. Here's the thing with Burrow. You talk to him. We have these production meetings. And, look, I've been doing this 23 years, so I've talked to all these different quarterbacks. You get a sense of their presence. You get a sense of how they carry themselves. Joe Burrow is ridiculously confident. He's very smart. And he just has this Joe Cool thing about him. And it's not like he's trying. It's not that he's trying to send off this image or give off this vibe. It's just who he is. And I can see how guys follow him. He's very much under control. And the theme that we got in talking to him today and talking to other guys on the team, they treated last week's game like it was week 8. Now, they recognized there was more on the line. There was a lot at stake. It's a playoff game. But they basically said practice felt like what they did all season, and then they brought that with them on Saturday to the game. And I think that's him. He just is unflappable. Nothing seems to get under this guy's skin. So everything you said is correct. Tennessee's defense is fierce. Their front is real. They're the only team in the NFL with three guys that had 8 or more sacks in the league this season. I don't think Burrow will be affected by that. He's still going to hang in there and look for big chunk plays. And Ja'Marr Chase has been on the receiving end of that. And if it's not him, it's T. Higgins. And if it's not T. Higgins, then they're going to get Tyler Boyd. And then C.J. Uzama has worked in, and they still have Joe Mixon. So it's dynamic. Their offense is legit.
Ian Eagle, before we let you go, I know you do TV play-by-play for the YES Network, which means Brooklyn.
Brooklyn!
The Nets. Kyrie just came out and fought with reporters on his vaccination stance. I know you're aware of this, but here's the deal.
Sure.
Brooklyn is playing really well with him in road games. KD is out. The NBA just fined Kyrie $25,000 for obscene language towards Cavalier fans when he basically said, I won you blanks a championship and you still don't appreciate me, which I thought was a pretty real statement. But, Ian Eagle, what's the deal here, and what does Brooklyn do? I mean, are they ultimately going to pay this fine and have Kyrie play this year, or are we just going to get him in road games?
Yeah, so let's deal with the first fine, which was the $25,000. This is where we're at in the world right now. This has always taken place. There's always been back and forths between players and fans. The difference now is that fans are videotaping it, and when it goes viral, the NBA reacts. You think Kyrie's the first guy to tell someone what he thinks in the crowd after the guy was razzing him? No, it happens every game, every day in the NBA. It's the ones that pop up on video that end up costing players. So in my mind, it's a very slippery slope. I believe Kyrie's allowed to answer if someone is out of line, or anybody in the NBA if someone crosses the line. But where that line is determined by the league. The second part, which is obviously the big story in the narrative with the Nets, look, it's not changing. Kyrie has been pretty straightforward in his beliefs. And I think where it gets a little messy is that in New York City, if you are an unvaccinated athlete with the visiting team, you're allowed to play. You are considered a visitor. You're considered a tourist. You're allowed to play at Barclays. You're allowed to play at MSG. But if you play for the home team, the Nets in this case, you're not allowed to play. You are under the mandates put forth by New York City. Initially, the Nets thought they were going to be able to avoid it because Kyrie actually lives in the state of New Jersey. City amended it and said, No, no, no. This is for the tri-state area. It affects everybody in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. That's where the back and forth really took place between the team and the city. And I don't know if there's going to be wiggle room moving forward. Once Omicron passes, does the city back off? Is there an exemption like there is in Boston, Chicago, LA, other major cities? That's still a possibility, I guess, although those in the new mayor's office, they don't want to deal with the optic of that right now. We'll see come March, come April, playoff time, if things change. For now, Kyrie is very well accepted in the locker room. Kevin Durant and Kyrie are incredibly close, and I think the rest of the team is okay with where he stands. Of course, you get into the playoffs and a potential championship on the line, and one of your best players is not participating. That could affect the dynamic as well. But for now, they're just dealing with it. And right now they've got 10 of their next 13 games on the road. So we're going to see a lot of Kyrie over the next 2 weeks.
Great job. We look forward to hearing your call, Tennessee, Cincinnati guys, and continued success. Great, great job, man. We appreciate the time.
My pleasure. Really nice talking to you guys. We'll do it down the road.
Absolutely. Great insight, too, into that whole situation. Again, he does the TV play-by-play for the Brooklyn Nets. Hey, man, what do we got coming up in we got guy talk. I'm sorry, Mike.
John Collins gave us some good guy talk, so we...
he did. I got
preempted by John. I'll take that. It was a good interview. It's online at Odyssey.com. We'll tell you what he had to say. But no, man, I think we have the road to the game that's got the Roman numerals and the silver trophy coming up.
We absolutely do. And you'll hear John Collins' sound bites coming up at 6:20 here on Dukes and Bell. Yeah, I'm thinking, guy talk, man. And you got preempted today.
I had a great story, but it's gone, Carl. The moment's passed.
Well, I'm speaking of guy talk, I'm about to tweet this out because I just saw it for the first time today. If you've not seen it, go to Put 'Em Up, See Dukes. It's the Pepsi Super Bowl trailer for the halftime acts. This is tight. You got to go check it out. We'll come back. Road to the big game next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Championship football. We got to turn this around and start one play at a time.
Now, it's time for the road to the big game on Dukes and Bell.
Oh, it is the big game that's approaching. We are about 3 weeks away or so. We've got the divisional round this week, championship round at the end of the month. And then, Mike, we get the Super Bowl, which is going to be in L.A. I tweeted out that Pepsi halftime trailer, and it is. It's sweet. It's dope, as I said. Mary J. and Snoop.
You said it's dope?
It's dope.
Thank you, Eminem, Rick Kamla.
Believe it or not, I was using that word long before he was. But I don't incorporate it in everything I say. So,
for those that are new to the station, our compadre from NBA TV, who used to be here at the station.
That was dope.
That is dope. No, I saw it. It really is. It's like the godfathers of hip-hop. It truly is. And it's going to be, again, they finally get it right. I wish they got it right in Atlanta. You know what I mean? We had to have that crappy Maroon 5. I want to eat a bullet watching that stuff. But, we're going to get something which is West Coast-centric is going to be it's going to be in that environment. Yeah, it's perfect. Yeah. It really is. Hey, man, we were
Here's
talking.
The bottom line, the straight dope. Yes.
See, there you go. I'm using the strain. I didn't say that's dope. I was that using. Did, I was giving so you. Hard, I was giving you Mickey Spillane. You know, like Mike Hammer use of the phrase, not like, you know, that's dope. You know, yeah. Not Zubaz pants riding on a jet ski use of the word.
Oh, stop.
Here's the bottom line: the straight dope.
I laughed so hard that day. It came out of nowhere, too. You were just yapping. And then you, I'm going to give you the straight dope. I was like, what?
So we were talking with Ian Eagle, and one of the games we didn't get to was the obviously one of the biggest storylines is the Rams and the Bucks.
Yeah.
And just real quick, I was texting with Rick Stroud, and I don't know if he's coming on tomorrow, but Squidbilly's talking about that. But Rams-Bucks, the word is, I guess all the offensive linemen are going to try to go, but Tristan Wirfs and Ryan Jensen both have bad ankles. And you know how an ankle injury grows. Nothing good comes from anything other than rest. So if you saw the game, and a lot of people were confused why Wirfs went back in, but you were losing, I mean, a big chunk of the offensive line in the middle on the right side. So, I mean, that's big, especially when you consider you got Von Miller, who's gotten traction, 6 sacks since he went to the Rams. And, oh, by the way, Aaron Donald, the best to dress out of this generation. So, brother, I know that a lot of folks feel Stafford's going to, like, you know, shoot himself in the foot, but I don't know if Brady's going to survive this game.
I would start him. This is advantage Rams. I would have told you advantage Rams before the game, even if they were 100%. You're telling me that two of the best offensive linemen that have protected Tom Brady over the last couple of seasons and helped him win a Super Bowl are not going to be 100%. You're talking about get off is what we call it, which means, right. And now my feet are where they're supposed to be. I'm backing in. I'm getting to where I need to be on my spots. I can't get there because my ankle hurts, Mike, or it's sore. This is advantage Rams, and I would tell you this may swing me to go with the Rams because, again, everybody's caught up with Tampa Bay. I know they won the Super Bowl last year, but the Rams beat these guys earlier in the year. They crushed them. It was almost like Tom Brady and company had to try to make a comeback. It was a huge deficit they had to try to overcome. Point is, Mike, I'm with you. I would not start them. I'm curious to see now. It's hard in these playoff games to say to these guys, you're not going to play if you're Bruce Arians, but you're also going to hurt the team. And if they, let's just say they're the reason why Von Miller comes off the edge or Aaron Donald gets a strip sack and maybe a scoop and score. That could be the difference in the game. I can't risk that knowing that they're not going to be able to protect like they normally could.
Yeah, so that's a big storyline. I know that you said, look, guys are always going to, you know, defer to the GOAT in moments like this, but you just laid it out. It's just they got a lot of guys injured. JPP got the day off as an old guy rest day, but they've got some dudes that are coming back like Lavonte David, foot injury. The defense is going to be healthier than it was when the Rams beat them by 10 at their house, but I just don't think you can underestimate the importance of an offensive line for a pure pocket passer like Tom Brady. So unless that ball's going to be like 1,000 and it's out, you know, I have a hard time betting against Brady, but man, that O-line is really jacked up.
Yeah, I mean, here's the part that you have a hard time betting against. 34 playoff wins. The most ever. It's hard for anybody in their right mind to go, yeah, I'm going to bet against that guy, no matter what the circumstances are. That's why I said, when Bo asked earlier today, like, who's the guy you really want to see this weekend, it sounds corny because we've seen him so many times. But if Brady's able to overcome two starters on the offensive line not being 100%, doesn't have his full core of receivers, all right, I'm not sure. Is Fournette back this week? Do we know? Is he going to be 100%? Undecided. You start adding in all this stuff, Mike, and you go, hey, Tom, go win. Guys, Grunt can only do so much. Mike Evans, all right, now I'm trying to maybe double him a little bit more because I'm not going to let him do what he did last week in these playoffs. I just think if he's able to find a way to score points, which they will, and win again, it's another incredible feat for Tom Brady to get to another, this time it'd be another NFC championship game.
Right. Fournette should be good to go, by the way. It's Giovanni Bernard who's banged up now, who's kind of become one of their go-to guys and kind of like a safety valve for Brady as well.
I think Fournette could be the real difference in this game, Mike, because you talk about guys like, you know, what Georgia had with James Cook and Dalvin, what he does. Put him out there. Let him run routes. He's kind of the safety valve for Tom Brady. If he's available and he's good to go, he could be a big factor in this game.
So there you go, man. That's one of the ones we didn't get a chance to kind of break down with the Ian Eagle. But, yeah, we talked about it with him. The pass rush of the Titans. I love Joe Burrow. It was fun watching him, you know, doing his thing against the Raiders. But, man, between him and Tannehill, these guys get hit more than anybody. But that Titans pass rush is going to be something to watch. So I just think Tennessee, and plus Vrabel, man, see how Zach Taylor handles this next level? Remember, he did some screwy stuff this year, you know, as far as head coach, when to kick field goals, when to go for it. Vrabel is going to be the smarter cookie as far as the coaching matchup in that one, too.
BetQL helps you make smarter bets throughout the football season, and now they're giving you a chance to win cash prizes. BetQL giving props. That's weekly free-to-play contest, guys, that runs through the pro football playoffs. Go to BetQL.com/props. Sign up. They post 10 props around the weekend's games. The person with the most correct wins, or picks, that is going to win $2,000. Just by signing up, you're automatically entered to randomly win $10,000 for the grand prize drawing. All you got to do is go to BetQL.com/props and make your picks today. We're coming back. Top three at six. Next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.